Good evening, everyone. It's good to see. This week's parsha is Parshas Toldos, and Parshas Toldos has an interesting interruption in the middle of it. When you think about Parshas Toldos, what do you think about? You think about Yaakov and Esav. This is the parsha in which Yitzchak and Rivka, after struggling for a while, have two children, Yaakov and Esav. The parsha begins with the struggle leading to their birth, with the sale of the bechorah, of the birthright from Esav to Yaakov. And then, of course, the big drama of the parsha, starting a little bit later in the parsha, is when Yitzchak, in his blindness, invites Esav for the bracha, and the whole story of the switcheroo, of Yaakov going and taking the place of Esav for the bracha. That's the main stuff that we remember from Parshas Toldos. In the middle, between the first story and the second story, something which actually takes up a number of aliyos in Parshas Toldos, although very, very brief aliyos in Parshas Toldos, is the story of Yitzchak coming to the land of Avimelech to Gerar. It starts really in the first aliyah of the Parsha. There was a famine in the land, besides for the famine that was in the days of Avram, and Yitzchak went to Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, to Gerar, and Hashem appeared to him, said, "Don't follow in the footsteps of your father to go to Egypt. It's what he did when there was a famine. I want you to stay here. I'm going to be with you. I will bless you. I'm going to give you and your descendants all of these lands, and I'm going to uphold the promise that I made to Avram, your father." All the good stuff, all the promises he says to him. So Yitzchak, of course, obeys Hashem, and he settles there in Gerar. And we have another one of those stories, my sister, my wife. And that's really what the second aliyah is occupied with primarily. Vayishalu anshei hamokom liishto. The people of the city asked about his wife. He said, "It's my sister." He was afraid to say it was his wife because he would be killed, just like had been in the case of Avram. And the parsha goes on to tell the story about what happened there. It's not exactly the same thing, by far, as what happened when Avram Avinu did. There's similarities, but it's not exactly the same thing. And the aliyah ends with Yitzhak flourishing tremendously in the land, having agricultural success beyond imagination. And he grew so much that in the next aliyah we start telling about the difficulties which he had with the locals because they were jealous of Yitzchak's prosperity. They felt, look, what nerve does he have to be so successful here in our area? And we end up with the problems which Yitzchak has, similar to those which happened with Avram, the covenant which Yitzchak has. It's a whole interlude. It's a puzzling interlude. And at other times we've spoken a little bit about what it's doing here. I always like to pose the most obvious, interesting question about it. So Yitzchak says that Rivka is his wife, right? We've heard that one before. Mm-hmm. Says his sister, excuse me. And how does he explain the twin boys? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, how does he explain the twin boys? They were just born. So, right? What's going on, right? So Ramban says, I don't know, maybe he said it was his twin boys from a different wife. Mm-hmm. Or hers from a different husband. Ramban says his from a different wife. It's very, 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 very puzzling, and maybe there's such an explanation that he would have been able to get away with. Maybe, as some suggest, the Parsha, the Torah is not always written in chronological order, but this story gets inserted here, even though maybe it happened before the kids were born. But it calls for some significant attention. What it's doing here. So again, at other times we talked about this as the whole experience of Avimelech in the land of the Plishtim is an experience of transition, and that's why it finds its way in the middle of these stories. We're not going to go there tonight. Tonight I want to explore with you and suggest to you perhaps something else. And we're going to do it. We're going to try to do it by looking here a little bit in greater detail at the substance of the story of what happens when Yitzchak goes to the land of the Plishtim. So the people asked about his wife, and she said, and he said, Achaisi, it's my sister, because he was afraid to say it was his wife, okay, lest they kill him. So what would you expect to happen at this point in time? So now he said it's his sister, because his sister, it's no problem. They can marry his sister. They don't have to kill him to marry his sister. And that's what he said to Paro. And what did they do? They took her, because she was his sister. And that's what Avram Avinu said to Avimelech in Parshas Vayera. And what did they do? He took her, because she's his sister. Why can't he? Okay, maybe they're more respectful to the brother and offer something. But he said it's his sister, and nobody touched her. And it wasn't because she wasn't beautiful. Taivas Mari, she was beautiful. And still, Vahiki Orchu Leisham Hayamim, he was there for a long time. Vayashkef Avimelech Melech Plishtim Be'arach Alon, Avimelech looks through the window, and Yitzchak and Rivka are behaving like a man and wife would behave. At this point, as Rashi says, he let his guard down, not having any problems. So we're going to, so whatever. But it's an interesting thing that Yitzchak had been afraid of something happening, and nothing happened. Like, why did nothing happen? Why? That's the big difference between this story and the other stories, is that in all the stories they were afraid, in all the stories they employed the same strategy. Exactly how it turned out, exactly whether Hashem stopped it by plagues, whether Hashem spoke to him, whether Hashem threatened. Right? There are different things which happen in different stories, but in this story, nothing happens because nobody ever took her. And all he says is, oi, I nearly took her. Or some say, and he says, really, one of the people nearly took her. Some say that was a nice way of saying, I nearly took her. And some say that was a way of saying, I wasn't going to take her. Somebody else was going to take her. Look what it says. The people of the place asked about her. Yeah.
Well, maybe they heard about Abraham. That was the
okay. So you could say, but maybe the reason why they were careful is because maybe they heard about Abraham. You could say it even more strongly. This was Avimelech. It was Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim. Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, knew Abraham. Okay, so maybe it wasn't the same Avimelech. Maybe Avimelech is a title which is used for all the kings of the Plishtim, just like Pharaoh is a title which is used for all the kings of the Egyptians. And when we say Pharaoh, we're not necessarily talking about the same flesh and blood, the same actual person. But Avimelech, whoever it was in the days of Avram, made a covenant with Avram for the generations. Im tishkor li ulenini ulenachti kachesed asher asi simchot asayim odi. I don't want you to be false with me, to fail me, to my child, to my grandchild. It was a covenant for generations that was made. And therefore, that would be enough of a reason for him not to be worried. And in fact, what you're saying is, in fact, said by the Ramban. Ramban says, not in this Aliyah, but in the previous Aliyah, he says, one second. Here it is. When it says, and he went to Avimelech, ki hoya bedato leredes Mitzrayim, he intended to go down to Mitzrayim, really. And he went and he stopped by Avimelech because Avimelech was Baal Bris Aviv. Avimelech had a covenant, a pact with his father. So it's a good, safe place to go. And he was also thinking, hey, maybe it'll work out here anyways. I'm buddy-buddy with Avimelech. He must have some reserves. He'll help me out. And maybe I won't have to go down to Mitzrayim. So Hashem said to him, don't go down to Mitzrayim. Don't even think about going down to Mitzrayim. Stay here. Avimelech didn't touch Yitzchak, didn't harm him at all. Why? Because he had a covenant with Avraham. But not everybody was bound by the covenant. it was the people of, it says, Vayishalu Anshe Hamokom, the people of the place, the locals asked about his wife. So the Ramban is explaining that it wasn't Avimelech, because Avimelech would have a hands-off policy. This is a person who's the son of the one who I or my father made a pact with. And so he didn't touch him. And even though it was his sister, they had said it was his sister, they still didn't touch. Because they remembered what happened with Avram. And that's why when Avimelech objects, when he finds out that it's his wife, not his sister, he says, one of the nation nearly touched her, not me. And he's interpreting it not like Rashi, that Achram is a euphemism for he himself, the special one of the people. No, somebody might have touched her, somebody who wasn't bound by the covenant. I wouldn't, but by doing this, you opened up that possibility. So Ramban is explaining that the reason why Avimelech himself didn't do anything was because Avimelech had a long-standing covenant with Avram that was continuing to this day with his descendant, with Yitzchak. And the rest of the people, they weren't bound by it. Maybe, in fact, they were, you know, getting a little bit ready to do something. But it was this that reassured him. Interestingly, other Rishonim focus more. Very interestingly, the Chizkuni says that they learned a lesson from Avram coming the first time. Not just about Avram, but remember he said, why did you say this is your sister if it's your wife? And what did Avram Avinu respond? I said, there's no fear of God in this place. Right? And Rashi says, he said to Avimelech, he says, what would you do? I come into town, the first thing everybody's asking me about is about this woman who's with me. Is that the normal? Is that normal? It's not a normal way. So I figured that they would be very driven about this, and I wanted to get out of the way. I didn't want to get run over in their you know, as a result of their desire. So says the Chizkuni, so the people of Avimelech's land of the Plishtim said, we shouldn't be this way. We shouldn't be this way. And so when Yitzchak came, not because he was Yitzchak, but when Yitzchak, the next time such a thing happened, and they came, and he came with the Taiva Asmara, they waited. They didn't start up right away. Orchu l'sham hayomim, a long period of time passed. Very interesting interpretation of the Rishonim as to why this took long. But in the end, you know, this is a situation where the fears were utterly unrealized. Yitzchak was concerned. He was worried about what was going to happen here. And the fears were not realized. Not like it was in the case of Avram going to Mitzrayim. Not like it was the case originally when Avram went down to the land of the Plishtim. And in a certain sense, we would expect that it would be different here. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem had never told Avram to go to Mitzrayim. In fact, if you recall, the Ramban himself was of the opinion that he never should have gone. Others disagree. Chazal seemed to disagree. But, you know, Hashem certainly never said to Avram, go to Mitzrayim. Hashem never told Avram to go to the land of the Plishtim in his time. Avram Avinu chose to move on. He said, Sodom and Amorah and this whole area has been destroyed. I don't want to stay around here anymore. Maybe I don't want to stay around Lod anymore. So he moved on to the land of the Plishtim. Yitzchak went exactly where Hashem told him. It's true that when he picked up originally to go, he was going because there was a famine. And he chose for himself. Maybe he was going to go to Mitzrayim. On the way to Mitzrayim, he was going to stop at the land of the Plishtim. Because, hey, the land of the Plishtim is a good place for me. As the Ramban says, my father had a pact with the people there. Maybe that'll protect me. Maybe that'll take care of me. Yitzchak goes on his own. But when he gets to the land of the Plishtim, Hashem comes to him and says to him, I want to tell you exactly what to do. I don't want you to go to Mitzrayim. I want you to stay here. Gur Baratz Azayis. And I will be with you. And I will bless you. Because I'm going to give you and your descendants this land. Oh, because of Avram. But I'm going to give you and your descendants this land. So, Yitzchak Avinu is here, and he's here with specific direction, and he's here with divine assurance that he's told to, this is where he is to be, and he's in the right place. So it's a fundamentally different situation, and you would think that as a result, Yitzchak would perhaps be more at ease in the situation, but he certainly doesn't start off at ease in the situation. Even they're coming to Avimelech with the pact, with everything else, with the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's still worried, and he says, Achaisihi. And you could say, well, you know, that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Yira. Yitzchak is fear. You know, Yitzchak is concern. But Yitzchak's going to go on to be so significantly blessed in this land, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will be with you and I will bless you. And as we mentioned at the last pasuk of Sheni, of the second Ali of the Parsha, is that Yitzchak planted in that land and he found in that place Me'a Sha'arim, 100 times the bounty that would be expected from the land Yitzchak got. He was fantastically successful. And he was in the place exactly where he needed to be, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him. Chazal say, why did Hashem say to Yitzchak, don't go to Mitzrayim, stay here? Because Yitzchak was someone who was supposed to have a lifelong place in Eretz Yisrael. He, certainly from the moment of the Akedah forward, when he was consecrated as a korban for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Yitzchak had to stay was right here in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Plishtim is part of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem says, you have to stay here. And it's in that context that Yitzchak is very blessed, and he's blessed with agriculture. What's unique in Eretz Yisrael? What's unique in Eretz Yisrael is agriculture, right? We have all the mitzvahs that only apply in Eretz Yisrael that don't apply anywhere else. What mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael? The mitzvahs of agriculture. So you can imagine that Yitzchak Avinu, who's the one Av, who's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, is also the one Av, the one patriarch, who flourishes specifically in his agricultural endeavors. And all of that, again, is very good, very nice. And at the same time, we have this fundamental discomfort, despite the promise, despite that all, Yitzchak is still nervous, worried about his stay there, and it's going to continue to some degree. Yitzchak himself will be at odds with the locals, and as it's going to end, they're going to come to Yitzchak, and they're going to at a certain point come with Avimelech. Is going to come again with his general. And he says, I see that Hashem is with you. Let's make a pact. Ato ato beruch Hashem. And he sees him out that way. What's the tension of Yitzchak Avinu here? So I would like to perhaps suggest something. I think it needs more support than we're gonna give it. It's a suggestion, but it perhaps is a suggestion which has merit. The Ramban writes here. I want to give an introduction to the suggestion. Okay, we're not up to the suggestion. The introduction to the suggestion goes like this. The Ramban speaks about the uniqueness of this trip that Yitzchak is taking to go to Avimelech. And he says, it's nishtahin or nishtaher. It's something in between. What do I mean? He says, we all know that when Avram went to Mitzrayim because of a famine, and he was forced to go to Mitzrayim because of a famine, that was symbolic or anticipating, Masa Avosim Labanim, a story which happened with the forefathers, that's an indicator of things to come with the descendants, that the Jewish people would go into Golos, to Eretz Mitzrayim. We would go into exile to Mitzrayim. When Avram went to Avimelech, says Raman, it's not symbolic of any exile. Why? Because Avram wasn't forced to go to Avimelech. Avram chose to go. and exile is imposed. But when Yitzchak went to Avimelech, he was forced to go to Avimelech. He didn't really have a choice. He had a famine where he was, and so he had to leave. So Yitzchak going to Avimelech, that is a golos, that is an exile. But he says, look what the kind of an exile it was. He went to familiar territory. He went to some place where, in fact, his father already had a pact with the king, with the inhabitants there. So it was golos, but in familiar territory with better conditions. When Avram went to Mitzrayim, Sarah was taken. She was taken into Paro's house. She was held there. Okay, Hashem brought miracles. And she was fairly quickly released. But she was taken prisoner. When Yitzchak came to Avimelech, Sarah wasn't taken. He said, you know, we nearly took her. We could have taken her. You were so close to having a problem. And Yitzchak was afraid of having a problem. Okay, at a certain point, maybe he let his guard down a bit. But he was afraid. He strategized for an eventuality that never came. And says the Ramban, this is all indicative or an example for Masava Simon Labanim, a pattern setter for the golos we would have in Bavel, the Babylonian exile, where we went to somewhat familiar territory. Bavel is where we were from, where Avram was from. It's Aram Naharaim, Ur Kasdim, you know, these are all the same area where we went into Golos later. And in Bavel, we weren't enslaved, but we were living always with ominous things around. We were fearful, but we weren't quite in Golos. We weren't quite subjugated in the fullest sense when we were in Golos Bavel. And the Ramban goes on and develops it some more about the fall starts. Avram left, Yitzchak left, and then he came. Then they came after him, and he came back. And he plugs in very, very neatly, very beautifully to this idea. And those are the words of the Ramban. Of course, we take them very, very seriously. Always, I must tell you honestly, I was always a little bit troubled that the Ramban chose to make this, see in this the Ma'aseh of Avraham Labanim, rather than actually seeing it in when Yaakov went to Aram, to the area which would be the general vicinity of Bavel, the home, and he spent 20 years there in exile, forced to be there. He had to run away. Like there, just like Avram went to Mitzrayim, was a forerunner of the Jewish people going to Mitzrayim. Yaakov going to Aram might be a forerunner of the Jewish people going to Aram. I was always a little bit troubled by that. But this is what the Ramban writes here. And it's additionally enlightening because, again, what he's showing here is that this is a golos, but on the other hand, it's familiar territory, but it's still with some level of unease. So what I want to suggest to you here is the following. You know, the Jewish people, I'll just read to you like a short passage. I mean, there are various passages in the Nevi'im which should be read to demonstrate this, but this is an easy one for starters. In the beginning of the book of Shoftim, the book of Judges, the second book of Nevi'im, so it goes over, and say for Yehoshua, you know, the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, conquered Eretz Yisrael, to some degree divided up Eretz Yisrael, in the very beginning of Sefer Shoftim, so it goes over a little bit of what has been happening in terms of that, and where the Jewish people were in their context. And it says as follows. You know, Kolev is Chevron, Kolev was given the city of Chevron, and then it says, Ves ha-Yevusi Yoshev Yerushalayim, lo horishu b'nei binyamin. The Yevusi, the Jebusites, who were the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, the descendants of Binyamin, who would have been the ones, because it was right in their portion, or right next to their portion, they did not drive them out. Vayeshev ha-Yevusi es b'nei binyamin b'Yerushalayim ad hayem hazeh. And the Yevusi stayed there in Yerushalayim with the b'nei binyamin until this day. Now, what's the significance? Yerushalayim is quite a significant place. And what we're saying here is that at this point in time, it was not conquered. The Yavusi, the Jebusites, continued to live there. They continued to stay there. Later in the Vim, say for Shmuel, we have a reference of Ivrim or Pischim, you know, different, whatever it was, you know, certain statues, monuments that stood in the way. Rashi here brings, here in Sefer Shoftim, and this is found in Chazal in many places, Umibnei Avimelech Hayu. The Yavusi that we did not drive out of Yerushalayim were children of Avimelech. V'loi Hayrishum, and we did not drive them out, Mipnei Hashvua, because of the oath, Be'er Sheva, the promise which had been made from Avram to Avimelech, that they would be faithful to each other. Ad Sheba David, until the period of David, Levishadayin Hayanechta Kaim, V'nishbalei Leninei Lenechta. Says Rashi, and again it's found in Chazal, is that by the time David came along, the pact expired. It was for a few generations, and until David HaMelech, those generations were still around, and therefore they had to respect it, and they couldn't conquer Yerushalayim. And so it was on hold. The conquest of Yerushalayim was not really there, was not really read. That's what we learn here, and that's, you know, something that's there. So the pact of Avimelech is not just a nice thing which ends up protecting us for a little while. The pact of Avimelech, on some level, held up the conquest of Yerushalayim, which is, of course, the crowning glory of the Jewish people being in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if we read the story in Avim, we would say, well, the Jewish people really didn't get to Yerushalayim until the consolidated kingdom was in the right hands, in the hands of David HaMelech in his day. There are other things which figure into the play. But those are simply in order to explain when the capital came to Yerushalayim. Here, the Pasuk describes, we see, that our hold on our central city was held up. Why? Because of this pact which was made with Avimelech. And as a result, we could say to ourselves, just for starters, you know, as we try to build the case here, the pact which was made with Avimelech, is it supposed to reassure? Right? We should say, Yitzchak, like the Ramban says, Yitzchak went to Avimelech because he said, hey, with Avimelech I have a deal. So I can go there, I'll be somewhat safe. But at the same time, he goes there, and he doesn't feel perfectly safe. He's busy making up stories that his wife is his sister because he doesn't feel truly safe there with Avimelech. The pact with Avimelech, it protected us and it tied our hands. It protected us and it tied our hands. It didn't leave us in a comfortable place. It left us in a lurch. And the lurch, the most visible element of the lurch was that Yerushalayim couldn't be ours. There's a famous comment, and here I want to take you back to Parshas Vayera. Parshas Vayera was the last time we met Avimelech, with Avimelech of the days of Avram, where Avimelech and first Avram ran, you know, moved there, and they had that whole story, and then,
excuse me,
then he has a child, he has Yitzchak, and then Avimelech comes running after him. After Yitzchak is born and Yishmael is sent away, he comes with his general. And what happens after that? It was after these things, Avraham, and God tested Avram. And he said to him, Avram said, sounds familiar, right? That's the story of Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak. So there's a famous comment from the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson. Wherever it says in the Torah, after these things, there's a connection to what came before. It's not just chronologically following, there's also some scheme that's happening. There's some cause and effect connection. When Avram killed the kings, the four kings, when he went to battle, So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, don't be afraid. There's a connection, right? What's the connection? You just fought a war. I don't want you to be nervous. Don't worry, they're not going to come back to get you. That's an illustration of the fact that there's a connection between Achar Dvarim, links to the previous parsha. Vayi Achar Dvarim Eila, Shenoilad Yitzchak, Vayugad Avram Leimor Oidu Besuel Yoladis Rivka. We have later, in this parsha, in Parshas Vayera, after the story of the Akedah, it was told to Avram that Besuel had a child. Who had children? Who did he have? He had Rivka, right? We have Yitzchak. I have Yitzchak. He has Rivka. Great, a shidduch made in heaven. And he brings other examples from Megillas Esther. Afkan, here too. Achar hadvarim shekoras Avram bris lavimelech loy leninay lenechtoy shel Avram. After Avram had made a covenant with Avimelech, binding himself and his children and his grandchildren. V'nasan leisheva kivsei satzayim. And he gave him the seven sheep. The chara apay shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al zayis. And Hashem was upset about this. Shari Eretz Plishtim b'chal gvul Yisrael. The land of the Plishtim is part of Eretz Yisrael. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziv aleim leisachaya kol neshama. And Hashem would instruct the Jewish people, go conquer Eretz Yisrael absolutely. Take it for yourself. This is your land. It needs to be your land. And you have to do whatever it takes to make it your land. He says, that's why Hashem tested Avram with Akedas Yitzchak. Meaning, again, Avram, Hashem was not pleased that Avram made a covenant with Avimelech, or Sichrois Lohem Bris. That covenant is going to stand in the way of your conquest of Eretz Yisrael. I don't like it. And the consequence was Akedas Yitzchak. What's that mean? He said, Hashem started up with him, gave him anguish as a result of the fact that he made this covenant. Kaloimar, meaning to say, Nisko Esa beben shena saticha lichreis bris beinechem uvein beneihem, v'yato lech v'aleu loyla v'yirma ha'ila krisus bris shulcha. It says, you're so proud you have a child, you're making pacts with your neighbors about what your generations will do with his generation. Now you get to negotiate and talk about the future of your family. You're so happy, you're so proud. I'm not so proud about what you did. I want to think about your future too. And thinking about your future is thinking about not tying your hands, the hands of your descendants for the future. He says, writes Rashbam, I found this idea that I'm telling you, which, right, if you think what I said, what I'm suggesting was radical, this is pretty radical, isn't it? That Akedas Yitzchak was here as a consequence for making a covenant with Avimelech. It was, so to speak, like a punishment. He says, I find in Medrash Shmuel, because it says the Oren of Hashem was in the land of the Plishtim for 7 months. Remember, the very beginning of the book of Shmuel, it tells how the ark was taken captive by the Plishtim in the battle, right? And Eli is sitting there waiting, and he hears about it, and he collapses, he falls, and he breaks his neck in despair over the fact that the Oren of Hashem was taken captive by the Plishtim, and we have all kinds of stories of God getting it back. Says the Medrash, 7 months corresponds to Esheva Kivsois Hatzoyin Tikach Miyodi. The seven lambs, which were the lambs that were symbolic of the covenant which Avram made with Avimelech, so those came back to haunt him in the 7 months that the Oron was in the hands of the Plishtim. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atona sata lo yishevak vasois, you gave him seven lambs, chayecha, by your life, shebonav oisim sheva milchama isim bonecha v'naitzchina son. His descendants will make seven battles with your children in which they will be victorious. Dov racha, chayecha shebonav harigim sheva tzadikim ibonecha. Another thing, his descendants will kill seven righteous Jews. Who are they? Shimshon, Chafni, Pinchas, Shaul, Shlai, Shabonav. Dover Acher. Chayecha, Shabonav, Achriv, Sheva, Mishkanais. His descendants will destroy seven temples of yours. What are they? Oel Moed, Gilgal, Naiv, Shila, Givain, Beis Elam, and Train. Dover Acher, Sha'oroin, Machzir, Besada, Plishtim, Shiva, Chadashim. Or that the Oran will sit, or just cycle around in the land of the Plishtim for 7 months. Says the Rashbam, he's not bringing any proof to the fact that the Akedah was a punishment for this, directly. What he's bringing a proof was that Hashem wasn't pleased with the fact that he had made this Be'er Sheva, that he had made this oath, this pact with Avimelech, binding the hands of his descendants. And he says, you see that Chazal say that many things which happen, bumps in the road of the Jewish people being able to take Eretz Yisrael, came as a result of this. Oh, to some degree, right? Rashi told us, what I just showed you from Sefer Shoftim, was that the pact itself actually tied their hands contractually. But these things that we have over here are additional bumps in the road to the Jewish people getting to where they needed to be because of the pact which was made with Avimelech. Rashbam dramatically is saying that Akedas Yitzchak, the struggle, the trauma of Akedas Yitzchak, I said the trauma, you know, it was experienced in exactly this way. The words of the Rashbam are kintoroi v'tziaroi. Right? Kintur is to learn, again, to challenge, to like start up with. Right? To be mekanter is like, right? You know, trying to get him. V'tziaroi, and caused him anguish. What was the anguish which was caused to Abram by the Akedah?
Well,
you could think about lots of things, right? I mean, it was going to take away.
Sarah.
Well, okay, you're smarter than you need to be for this.
Oh, okay.
that's true. In the end, Sarah died, Chazal tell us, connected to it. But the anguish of the story itself was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've been waiting all this time. You promised me this child. You gave me this child. I finally have him. And now you're going to tell me back to square one? Now you're going to tell me back to square one. And in a certain sense, that punishment fits with this whole model, what he's showing from what the Medrash says, all the different consequences, which were things which we were going ahead, and then setback. The Oron of Hashem in the land of the Plishtim for 7 years, the Akedah was a would-be setback, you know, in a certain sense, for the marching forward that the Bnei Yisrael were supposed to have. Now, so what are we suggesting? We're suggesting that on some level, Yitzchak coming to the land of the Plishtim with the pact of Avimelech, which in a certain sense provides him with some safety. He has some safety in this. But at the same time, safety often is accomplished by, you know, if you stay in your house,
no risk.
The safety of the pact with the Plishtim was also something which restrained the Jewish people from being able to march forward, from being able to do something, to do what they needed to do. And perhaps on some level, this is coming across in the ambiguity of Yitzchak's experience here in the land of the Plishtim. He's fearful. He doesn't have to be fearful because nothing's going to happen. There's a pact, and in any case, they never came and took advantage of Rivka when he was there in the land of the Plishtim. But he still, to a significant degree, is there present with that fear. And that's perhaps emblematic of the holding pattern which being in the land of the Plishtim is. Golus Bavel, which the Ramban says, and Ramban says this was the example. This is Golus Bavel. Golus Bavel is a very mixed bag. It was a very mixed bag. We were forced to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Bavel. We went to Bavel, and what was it? Were we quite enslaved? Bavel's a place where, as Ramban says, Jews were princes in Bavel. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. We thrived in Bavel. We ended up staying there even when we were welcome back in Eretz Yisrael. Our shelves here in the Beis Medrash and in our homes are filled with volumes which are the most fundamental volumes of the Torah Shebaal Peh, which are called the Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud. We're there we're safe, we thrive to a certain degree, but we're held up from being able to move forward. We're held up from being able to move forward. If we may take license, one more drop of license, okay, again, and I'm the first one to say, sometimes, you know, I stand up here and I try to make a case and I say, this is what it means. Here, I'm not telling you this is what it means. I'm saying, maybe, possibly, this is what it means. Isn't, so we said, Akedah is the lekantarei letzarei. You thought you were going to have this child, and now you don't, and now you do again. How about Akedas Yitzchak itself? How about the binding of Yitzchak itself? What comes out from this story from Akedas Yitzchak? So finally, Avraham says, okay, fine, I'm going to make him a korban to Hashem. And then Hashem says, no, don't. So you all know what Rashi brings. Avraham Avinu says, but Rabban Shalom, I'm all ready to do this. I mean, I realize it's like such a big thing that you asked of me, and I'm ready and set and go, and I'm going to do this thing, and now you're telling me not to do this thing. Right? Avraham Avinu didn't dance a jig. You know, he said, like, what's going on? Can I at least make a little cut? Right? That's why Rashi, that's how Rashi explains. Hashem says, Al taslay mu'uma. Right? Don't not only don't slaughter him, don't do anything. Don't do anything to him. Instead, okay, so he finds something else, and that something else will be brought as a korban, and Yitzchak will go dancing down the mountain? No, Yitzchak doesn't go down the dancing down the mountain. It doesn't even say that Yitzchak came down the mountain. It says, Vayoshev Avraham El Na'arav. Avraham Avinu returned to his young men, to his assistants. Where was Yitzchak? What happened to Yitzchak? So maybe Yitzchak went along with Avram. Maybe Yitzchak went to Yeshivas Shem Va'ever. He went off to study someplace. I don't say why. Okay, so he went this way and he went this way. The Pasuk doesn't mention Yitzchak. Okay, so mystical sources say, you know why? Because Yitzchak, he went up to heaven. He was offered as an offering. But one second, didn't Hashem stop him? On some level, yes, on some level, not. He's sort of in this middle ground. Chazal tell us, the ashes of Yitzchak sit in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he sees the ashes of Yitzchak, and it's a tremendous merit and a tremendous strength and support for us, his descendants. What's the problem? He never was burned. What ashes? The planned ashes. A plan, which to some degree goes ahead, but on the other hand, is suspended. And Yitzchak is forever called the Ben Hanekat, the son who was bound up. And, by the way, what do we have? What do we read right in this parsha? And we mentioned a few minutes, not a few minutes ago at this point, but several minutes ago. Hashem says to Yitzchak, don't go to Mitzrayim. Stay here. Why? Because you're a korban. You're an Ola Tamima. Oh, I am? Or I was? Or I'm not? Akedas Yitzchak is all tenuous. It's all tenuous. It's about, there's a promise, but there's no promise, but there is a promise. He's a korban. He's not a korban. He is a korban. In next week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu comes to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal understand that it was the place of the Beis HaMikdash. It's again a little confusing there. The place of the dream, right? With the ladder that reaches from the earth to the heavens. And Yaakov says, Manora HaMokom HaZeh, how awesome is this place? Ein zeh. This is not kiim beis elokim, other than the house of God, and this is the Shara Shemaim, this is the gateway to heaven. What an awesome place. This is nothing but the house of God and the gateway to heaven. That's the way you read the pasuk without stopping. What do Chazal say? Chazal say, no. Yaakov Avinu saw the Beis HaMikdash standing. Manorah Mokom Hazeh, how awesome is this place? And then he said, Ein Zeh, it's not here. What happened to it? Now you see it, now you don't. He saw it bonu, he saw it built, then he saw it chorev, then he saw it destroyed, and then kiim beis elokim, but the house of God, and he saw it built again. A real look at the Beis HaMikdash sees, stops, and starts. Maybe I should say starts and stops. I don't know what I should say. But it comes and it goes and it comes. And you may have noticed it went. And we spend the rest of history so far. Ritz Hashem, hopefully, will come to a conclusion of this chapter, Bimhera Biyameinu, waiting for the next Ein Zeh, the current Ein Zeh, excuse me, to be replaced by the Ki'im. Mm-hmm. Instead of the absence, there should be a presence. And in a certain way, this was created, this was imposed by Avram Avinu and the covenant which he made with Avimelech Melech Plishtim. Yitzchak, the Ola Tmima, the perfect offering, who in a certain sense is representing the sanctity, the consecration of the Mikdash was accomplished because that was the place of the Akedah, Yireh. Right? Hashem Yireh, Asher Yomer Ayom, Bar Hashem Yireh, here Hashem will see. This is the mountain where Hashem will be seen one day. Yerushalayim. But it starts and it stops. It starts and it stops. It starts and it stops. And the story of Avimelech, in a certain sense, is the story of it stopping and starting. Avraham Avinu has a son. He has a son, Yitzchak. Avimelech comes at him admiringly. Right? As much as Avimelech might have thrown his weight around a little bit before, and Avimelech said, you know, go away, Avimelech comes back with Pichol Sar Tzavo. He does it in Avram's day. He does it in Yitzchak's day. I see that Hashem is with you. I want to be on your side. He admires the power and the strength of the Jewish people. And so he wants to curry favor with them. He wants to be together with them. And Avraham Avinu says, okay, fine. And Avraham Avinu demonstrates a strength and an assertiveness that he hadn't even said before. He rebukes him. When Avimelech comes back to Yitzchak, Yitzchak rebukes him. We're in a strong position. We're telling you as we're signing this paper that we are in a strong position. And they're signing the paper, and they're weakening their position. I'm not saying something political here. Please don't be confused. But that's the mechanics. The mechanics of what happens here. And so the notion, as the Ramban says it, you know, in Golus Bavel, we were in Golus. We were princes. We were taken care of. We were respected. But at the same time, we lived in constant fear. So transfer that to Eretz Yisrael, and we're there, we're in our land, and we're restrained. We're not Manorah Makom Hazeh, Ein Zeh, Kiim Beis Elokim. We mentioned earlier that, you know, the story of Avimelech just does insert itself in all kinds of interesting places, both in the life of Avram and in the life of Sarah, and in the life of Yitzchak. When we talked about it previously, we spoke about the transformations which were happening in their lives. The Ava, the Yira, the love of God, the fear of God, and how that goes back and forth. And of course, it's a beautiful thing to see that as the point of transition, because what's the name of this person again? Avimelech. Avimelech. Does that ring any bells? Avimelech. Right? Avinu Malke. Right? Our father, our king. Avimelech. Right? Avram is Av. And Sarah is Sar. Sar is the prince of Melech, you know. The Melech is fear, and the father is love. Avimelech, it's sort of like this combination, this bridge. And that's perhaps part of the transition which we find here as they're switching again from one mode of operation to another. We don't have the ability, the time right now, to talk about it at length. But here, tonight, what I'm trying to isolate is a different thing about this Avimelech. You know, anyone, you know, studies the Sefer Yeshua Shevin Neviim, you know, the books of the Neviim, right? The chronic obstacle for the Jewish people. Who did we fight the most battles against? Right? You know, Amalek. You know, we fought here and there. Amalek is a famous enemy, right? The Canaanim, we had to conquer them. But the one that's back and back and back over and over and over again are the Plishtim, are these people with whom we have a pact. It lasted enough to stop us. It lasted enough to stop us, not necessarily to be able to protect us. It lasted enough to stop us, not necessarily to protect us. And this is the thing. This is the thing. What are we supposed to draw from this? Again, I'm not here to draw practical lessons for political negotiations, you know, for the latest Middle East peace push. I'm not interested. But on some level, what we have here is, like, again, the emblem of Akedas Yitzchak. We gave ourselves over to Hashem, but not completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram the world. He promised Avram Eretz Yisrael. Promised Avram Avinu everything. Avram Avinu was in the greatest position ever, because now he actually sees he's had the child Yitzchak, and the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave him is fulfilled. And at this point in time, he takes matters to some degree into his own hands. He doesn't successfully say, wow, look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken us over, and do more. He's taken it to some degree into his own hands. This perhaps is the ambiguity of this Aliyah as well, of this stay of Yitzchak in the land of the Plishtim. Fearful, secure, but fearful, unable to step forward, unable to move forward. That's the idea that I wanted to share with you. Leisichrois lohem bris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. I don't want you to make a covenant. I don't want you to make a pact with them. In a certain sense, when you make a pact with them, that means that you're only going to be able to take the bias. You're only going to be able to build the temple. You're only going to be able to be there to the extent that your agreement with them allows. Instead, make a pact with me. Make a pact with me completely. And we won't be hovering between Manora Hamokom Hazeh, Einzeh, Kiim. The lulls come from all of these brisim that we come in. The Maisav Asim Labanim will continue. Right, when Ramban's going to write that the pact that we went pursuing the kings of Rome led to our second Golus. There's such a thing as trying to put ourselves completely, entirely, and entirely in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving ourselves over in a way with without suspense, without it going and coming, you know, pulling, tugging back on the rope. We should be zeche bezus Hashem to somehow learn how to place ourselves truly, firmly in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we will merit a clear and uninterrupted path past the plishtim to the bias gael tzedek b'mehira v'yameinu.
I'll just say that about this, but about this.